What's up, beautiful people, and welcome to Inside Out Empowerment, where we are examining the science of personal excellence through the very real experience of today's most powerful thinkers, professional athletes, and the world's greatest entrepreneurs. We learn the mechanisms for designing the life and the results of our dreams, starting from the inside out. I'm entrepreneur Joshua Nussbaum and your host. Just watch me now.
Let's start here. What the fuck do you do? What do you do? Seriously.
Yeah. So I support women in reconnecting with who they truly are. And the method that I do that with is through nutrition and emotional eating. So I use a surface level
issue. What is emotional eating?
Emotional eating is, there's two different types of hunger. There's body hunger, where you actually feel hungry. Maybe you feel like you have, like, your stomach makes noises or you're tired or whatever, you actually have physical hunger. And then the other hunger is head hunger, which is everything else that contributes to why we eat. So we eat for many different reasons, and many people who struggle with diets, who struggle with having control around food, who can't stay on track with their goals, it's because there's something emotionally going on. So it could be stress. It could be feeling alone. It could be feeling anxious. All of those effects, some people eat more when they feel anxious, some people eat less when they feel anxious, some people when they feel depressed, you know, ice cream is their go-to. So emotional eating is really addressing the person as an eater instead of just focusing on what they're eating or here's how many macronutrients to eat. And I still do the nutrition side of things, but really, really understanding why people are the way that they are. And how we do one thing is how we do everything. So if someone's struggling with eating, there's a reason why they're struggling with that. And that's why they struggle with the other things as well.
Okay. How would somebody find you? And after they find you, obviously you would do some sort of assessment with them. Mm-hmm. And then after you have a generalized sense of where they're coming from, where they're aiming, what they're trying to accomplish, what do you do with them? What does your process look like?
Yeah, so I have a 12-week program that is where most of my clients start. It's a 3-month program, and it's called Fully Nourished, and we're working on nourishing the mind, body, and soul. So what that looks like is we have 3 different sections that we focus on. One is nourish your body, and that's everything to do with how to feed yourself so that you feel your best, feel energized, that your metabolism's working well, that you feel nourished. Because when we don't feel well, it's really hard to be happy and show up how we want to show up. So nourish your body is everything from meal planning to understanding food sensitivities to understanding your macronutrient balance, timing of food, all that. So your classic nutrition, I guess you could say holistic nutrition. And then the second pillar is called nourish your mind. And this is where the mindset piece comes in. So I work through using different tools. A lot of it's spirituality. So using things like meditation, affirmations, gratitude, understanding what our fears are, what our doubts are about ourselves. Really diving into our self-talk, because how we talk to ourselves every day really influences pretty much everything that we do. So we dive into nourish your mind. And then
how do you talk to yourself?
Now or like 2 years ago?
Give me both.
Both?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think I ever intentionally said anything nice to myself until probably 2 years ago. My thought pattern was always...
You would never know from knowing you on the outside. Mm-hmm. And I was very close with you. Mm-hmm. And I know obviously like when you have been in different phases, it was probably louder or softer in your head. But you looked like you were winning. Mm-hmm. And I think you were winning in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. That's crazy to hear you say that you don't think you ever intentionally said anything nice to yourself before 2 years ago. It makes me a little sad almost. But if you were like that, and you've always been a very self-aware, self-seeking, learn about this, express that, like develop different elements of like your holistic being, right? And you were not consciously telling yourself nice things. Self-love, I don't know if that subject has ever come up with anybody ever in this office, is a big one. So what kind of shit would you be saying in your own head? And I appreciate you fucking being straight up about that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so you...
It's courageous to be like, I was harsh with myself.
Thank you. Yeah, it always wasn't good enough. So it wasn't that I had this expectation that I had to look a certain way or I had to get a certain grade or I had to be a certain way. just whatever I did, I was disappointed in myself because I was constantly comparing to other people, or I didn't feel like I was creative enough, or I didn't feel like I was smart enough, or I didn't feel like I just wasn't enough. That was my storyline, that nothing is enough. So constantly falling short. Right? Yeah, constantly falling short. So
it's funny how everything will play into the shit you tell yourself and reinforce whatever the fuck it is that is your storyline. It's so crazy how your environment, you know, you look around the room, look at everything that's green. We can do it right now. Look around the room. Everything that's green. And remember it. So I'm going to tell you to close your eyes, right? Close your eyes. No smiling allowed. All right, fine. You can smile and close your eyes. No laughing, though. I want you to list me everything in the room that's blue.
I only know it because I've done this before.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah.
List me some things that are blue.
The computer over there. Their computer cover.
You're an animal. Okay, open your eyes. Right? Because you're setting your mind to, like, your reticular activating system. Mm-hmm. The muscle in your conscious mind that tells... The muscle in your brain that tells your conscious mind what to focus on. Your breathing is not one of them, usually, right? So it's a subconscious thing that we do. If you go green, it sets your reticular activating system to the green shit, right? Mm-hmm. If you're going, people are a disappointment, I am not good enough, what the fuck do you think color do you think you're going to see? Well, I don't know if that thing is a color, but it'd probably be like shit color glasses. I don't know if you're like looking at the world through that. What shifted and how do you talk to yourself now?
What shifted is I hit rock bottom. I got to a place where I was just so unhappy and just so in a place where I had done a lot of work. I'd learned a lot of things, but I just wasn't applying it. So I was going to workshops, working with a spiritual coach, working on this mindset stuff. And I knew what wasn't working, but I just wasn't changing. And I got to the point where everything on paper looked good and it looked good to everyone else, but I was miserable. And I just realized I'm the only person that can change this was really what it came down to. I was like, no therapist, no medication. You know, I was on medication, no friends, no one can fix this for me. So it's my choice. And part of my choice was that I had to change my environments, which meant leaving a marriage, which meant starting a new business, which meant being okay with not everyone liking me. It's okay if other people are a little bit upset or disappointed, which seems selfish to a lot of people. But I got to a point where I was like, either other people are going to be disappointed temporarily, or I'm going to be unhappy for the rest of my life. So really big, it was a big leap. And it took maybe 2 or 3 years to get to a place where I knew myself well enough and I trusted myself and had said enough affirmations and gotten into a positive headspace where it was like, all right, this is it. I got to make the leap. I can create the happiness that I've been searching for a long time. Yeah, so meditation was a big piece of that, is like really seeing where my thoughts were at and they were not in a positive space.
So it started from generating the motivation of being like, I'm fucking miserable. Mm-hmm. It was a negative motivation.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have to hit like their rock bottom to make a change. You know, where we have all these things that are uncomfortable, but until they're so uncomfortable that you just can't go on anymore, whether it's an event that happens, an accident that happens, a breakup, a getting, you know, laid off from a job, something major happens and then it switches. Mine was really just, I honestly feel like I was getting the same message. My soul just kept telling me, like, this is not right. This is not right. This is not right, until I listened.
You called me your soul?
So I think I was like,
what? On a couple of issues. But I've also learned not to force it. And it doesn't fucking matter, like, what you think you know. It might be right. It might be wrong. Yeah, she's cheering for me. She's like psychically in her sleep sending us love. She's actually like...
She's sleeping with her eyes open.
I fucking love that animal, Jesus Christ. I think when shit gets... You have to get so fucking uncomfortable that it almost makes it the path of least resistance to create radical change. Which sounds funny. Or not funny, but it sounds like a little ridiculous. Because you're like, this guy who looks great on paper and isn't terrible to me in a marriage and is a nice human that I want good things for. How could that be so bad, right? Like, and I'm not saying he was or wasn't those things. I'm just saying, like, you get in scenarios that, like, people that were getting shot at in World War II are like, that's your fucking definition of miserable. But times were different, and I expect to live past a certain age and surviving is no longer enough, and we're looking to like create an impact. Plus, our generation invented motherfucking podcasting, so they can't say shit. Back to the point, I think that you need to get squeezed, and it's not always this like external huge thing, like, oh, your husband is imperfect. I stormed the beach at Normandy. Yeah, fine. One seems bigger or less than the other. But I almost feel like in order to get to those like truly fucking miserable, dead inside places, there is not a big event that occurs. There's not like a thing. It's like, that's where I went wrong. It's not listening to the compass. And you do this and you drift and you drift and you drift. And then you're waking up and you're like, where the fuck am I and what am I doing? And I'm not talking about them who literally probably don't know what town they're in right now because they're gypsying at the moment. God bless them. I mean, like, emotionally, you don't know which way is up. And you're sitting there and you're fucking eating breakfast with, like, your mother-in-law and your quote-unquote best friend and your whoever. And you're like, why does this hurt right now? At least that's been my experience. When I allow my shit to deviate for long enough, I also have the gift and curse of not being able to hold shit in. I'm like a very polarizing personality type, and I have a lot of discipline towards a goal. I don't have a lot of discipline to sit there and be like, I am not going to say this because it might make somebody uncomfortable, or I want to do whatever because I want to keep so-and-so happy with me. I've always been so bad at that. I gave up when I was a kid at like doing the right thing, saying the right thing at the right time, like fitting in and making it. I've been a fucking goof and a weirdo, and somehow it's worked for me. I've also fallen on my face plenty of times, and I know that that's like part of the process. If it's not something that like, it's not like an abrupt thing, at least in my experience, that starts the drift, do you just drift so far that you have to like, it has to like be pulling on your fucking insides? Cause you, what is the word for that? Cognitive dissonance?
I'm not sure.
When you like are like think one way and are doing another thing, and you keep doing that and keep doing that, every time you do that, a little piece of you dies. Mm-hmm. Or at least the voice that knows what you want gets softer. Every time you have an intuitive feeling, we can probably both relate to this, you in a way more loving way than me. Mm-hmm. Every time you have an intuitive feeling and you ignore it, your receptors soften or like desensitize, or that voice in your brain that is not guiding your actions goes, okay, maybe next time I won't yell so much. When you ignore 500,000 of them, at least I have felt at times, I'm like, why am I shoveling shit to make this fucking thing work? I don't fucking want it. Like, who made a decision at some point that put me in a path that led me to this thing that I fucking hate? That thing, this entirety of my circumstance that is fucking not serving me at all. And you're not being a martyr, by the way. When you do that, you're being a fucking taker, right? Because you're withholding the gift that you are when you are empowered and you are in your fucking stead and you are stable and well-rooted and warm and able to project from the inside out, right? Inside out empowerment. If you're in a rotten place inside, people don't get the gift that's you. Yeah. And somebody said that to me once, and it landed hard as fuck. And they weren't talking about my willingness to like step up and confront stuff. They were talking about my willingness to let shit in. And for me, that took more courage than like any monster or any fight. And it made me realize internally, even though it doesn't seem like it with the way I come across in like my choice of diction, that power is not something I rise into. And I feel a lot of people feel like power is like an energetic emotion. For me, power is something that I settle into. It's chilling back. I used to think power was like creating an effect, and my power felt very like, I'm using a lot of hand gestures for those of you that are just audio, and I apologize, but it felt like it was in the same vein as like enthusiasm or excitement. It was like an agitated feeling, like a kinetic energy type.
Something that you're doing instead of
being. And now when I like, before when I used to speak, I'd like fucking like hit my chest. I'd like get in my zone of like, I'm going to fucking deliver. Dink, dink, dink. The audience is going to have these takeaways. And I would get like my intention very strong. And that's the way I thought to do it, right? Me steering the ship. Now when I speak, I like let myself feel the butterflies. I take a deep fucking breath and I just go, God, universe, Yahweh, Hashem, Allah, whoever the fuck is listening, guy with the microphone who I know is filming me right now, please give me the words and make my brain think fast enough and my intuition be strong enough to be of as much service to these human beings as possible, to give them what they need to hear, not what I want to say.
Yeah, totally.
And when I'm operating from that place, ironically, it's more sensitive. But dude, I could give a fuck if my shit's not landing and they're like, I mean, I don't think you heckle a teacher or like a lecturer. That would, you'd have to be saying some really absurd shit to get heckled at one of these events. But like, if people were to start to do that, I wouldn't turn inside and be like, I'm so bad and da da da. I'd be like, okay, where did I lose the audience? What sequence of events occurred that allowed me to da 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 da? If I'm in my uppity power mode, you bet your ass I'm going to be more clever than that person and I'm going to make them wish they never stood up. I would rather be the former. It takes practice. So your shift occurred when you didn't want to be in this space you were in because you had allowed yourself to drift, not abruptly like, I'm going to marry this guy. Okay, it was the wrong decision, right? It was a lot of different things over a very long period of time causing you to make an abrupt shift back. What are some of the other things that you shifted? Number one, positive self-talk. What do you say to yourself now?
So I have statements.
Why are you awesome?
Why am I awesome?
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a really calming presence.
You do have a calming presence.
Insightful, mm-hmm. Thoughtful,
mm-hmm.
Kind, okay. Fun, caring, loving. I'm intelligent. I connect well with people. I am awesome. Yeah. And never used to be able to say anything along those lines before.
So how often do you remind yourself of it?
Daily.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, have an amazing morning alignment routine that gets me started that way in the morning, and that sets my day. And then whenever I feel like I'm out of alignment, I'll use things like gratitude or affirmations. And they're really simple things, and they work really well. Or I'll take a break and do some breathing or, you know, read something that's inspiring, read a book that I really feel like when I'm reading a lot of the books that I've read, and I do a ton of reading, I read the right book at the right time. I feel like the messages really connect for the most part, land. And I actually have a group of women who I have a thing called Book Tribe, which is an online book club, and we read one book a month. And a lot of them will say the same thing as like, I needed to hear this right now. So I use a lot of that, and then I create an environment that supports me staying in a positive space. So my work environment.
Tell me about that, yeah.
My work environment.
Not like a list, like tell me about that.
Yeah, so everything that we're exposed to, not just the physical environment, but what we hear, who we surround ourselves by, it all affects how we think. That's what influences whether we have fear-based thoughts or love-based thoughts. And if
can you do have both at the same time or no?
You can't have them at the same time.
I've heard a lot of people say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't have a fear-based and love-based thought at the same time. And there's a metaphysical text called Course in Miracles, and they talk about a miracle is when you, every time that you change from a fear-based thought to a love-based thought, and that's a choice, and it's a awareness and a recognition, and the more that we can do that.
Pesky awareness.
Yeah.
Levels you up like a motherfucker, but then also makes it impossible for you to do the thing where you stick your head in the sand and be like, the Instagram algorithm is bad, that's right. Why I don't have a reach, or it's everybody else. It's not a matter of me being selfish or...
Right. Yeah, you see everything.
Like,
yeah.
Once you start to open your eyes a little bit, it's really tough to close them again, I feel like.
I don't think it's possible.
Yeah.
And that for me has been a big part of... If you try and hide from it, you keep getting messages that you're not on the right track by things not working out, by things falling through the cracks, by just life feeling really shitty. And if you're in that space, it's like, all right, well, I'm not listening to what I'm supposed to be doing right now.
Okay. So what do you tell somebody or what do you ask somebody in assessing their environment or helping them assess their environment?
I first start by asking them, what are all the things that you feel like you're doing because you should do them versus doing the things because you want to do them? And so many people, especially women, I think it's particular to women, are taught that we should be doing all these things because that's what makes up our worth and who we are. So I should call this person, or I should do this project, or I should do laundry. And if your life is full of what you should do because you want to look a certain way or because you feel like you have to do something, then your life isn't filled with things that you actually enjoy doing. Right? If you, some of those things you might enjoy doing, and some of those things you have to do. But
Matt, I am a not laundry guy. Okay, so I'm going to play brief devil's advocate on this one. I mean, theoretically, based on that, wouldn't that just be a bunch of, like, I don't know, hedonistic pleasure-seeking behavior without, like, a purpose and without, because there's a lot of time. Like, I'm guided by my vision of what I'm trying to create. I'm guided by the thing that I am committed to saying is going to happen, regardless of how I feel. And I'm very aware of how I feel, and I'm very emotional. I'm a very, very, what are you fucking smirking at me for?
I'd love to hear what the variety of emotions are that you, because I feel like there is, no one else sees that, or maybe only a few people see that for you.
I almost cried when she cried yesterday. And didn't, because I just wanted her to hold a grip. I almost wish for the first time in my fucking life that there were people in here that are like my regulars. Because I want to know if they think that I'm an emotional guy. I'm very, very much on my sleeve. Even in a firm negotiation, I'll say things and do things that may be contrary to the outcome that the action doesn't necessarily directly serve the outcome, just because it's like where I'm coming from. And I'm like, look, dude, I know this is not the right way to run this, but you just tell me what you want, and I am going to endeavor to the best of my ability to say yes, or I will try to adjust my thinking to work around wherever you come in. And if I have the ability to adjust, that's what we'll do.
Got it.
And if I can't, then, you know, we don't have something, but I really want you to get that I'm going to aim to give first and meet you on your field. There's very little rigorous toughness throughout my day. My toughness is not in like a big speech or a big close. My toughness is like mind-numbing consistency. And I'm tired, I'm sick, I'm constipated, I'm heartbroken, I'm elated, I'm rich as fuck, I'm facing a lawsuit, I'm married, I'm divorced, I'm a dad, I'm a student, whatever the fuck it is, two things. Number one, I pick what the fuck is happening, and I remain stubborn enough to make reality come into agreement with me and not the other way around, because that's how shit around you moves. If I sat there and said, that wall is blue, and consistently said it and meant it, that wall would turn blue. I don't know if somebody would paint it. I don't know if I would psych myself out. I don't know if literally like the United States government would come out and Donald Trump would be like, we've officially changed the name beige to blue. And I would look around and be like, I fucking told you that wall was blue. And I've experienced the phenomena over and over again of like reality catching up with me. And it's not because I'm psychic. It's because I'm forcing it into play. You can't do that without toughness, because by definition, having reality come into agreement with you means you are saying something is the case that is not the case. And it starts to pull reality towards that. It's like truly delusional. And you have to be okay with people being like, you're fucking out of your mind, right? They're not going to be like, oh, I totally see what he sees. And be like, what the fuck are you saying? You don't even have business cards, bro, you crazy asshole.
Well, that's what happened when I was making my change, is I had to clearly see where I was going, even though it didn't exist, in order to make a change. Otherwise, my ego, I would have way too much fear about the unknown and what's going to happen. I already knew how my life would look like right now.
Awesome.
Because I had created that for myself. So having that clear vision, and it was like, no matter how hard it is to get through this part, I know that that's still happening.
So that's pretty dope. I've gone through a lot of permutations of creating a different version of reality than what is, where like the destination is so fucking many adjustments away from where I was then that like I didn't know one player that was going to be there with me. I didn't know what the so-and-so was going to be. I didn't know what I was going to be doing day to day, but I knew how I was going to feel. I knew that I was going to have $1 million in the bank. I knew that my son would be my number one priority, and I would know, literally, I've written on a paper, be good at parenting stuff. Be able to competently handle any situation that occurs with my kid, regardless of Heidi's sobriety or not. That was like a have. This one of the things I was committed to having, to be a competent father. I still don't have an anchor for where I want Noah to be, but I know how he's going to feel. You know what I mean? I know that he knows and will always know that I have his motherfucking back for anything, through anything, right, wrong, or indifferent, better or worse. I would fucking bleed for that kid. And I have. And I'm like, you can develop daddy issues. You can develop mommy issues. You can develop drug habits. You can be the number one fucking speller or roller skater or fucking cocksucker, karate guy, Pokemon master, whatever the fuck you want to be. You're never going to have me not supporting you as the fucking excuse. So go fucking win. And he knows that. I'm like, dude, you're going to have other people that suck. You have other people that come and go. You're going to have many, many people that come and go. I like that you're getting some of that fucking dues paying shit, this is heartache, out of your system at 6 and at 9. Because we all go through it. Every single human being on the planet goes through it. Yeah, this is heartache. It hurts me more than it hurts you to see you hurting. I swear to God, if I could take it out of you and put it in me, I would. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think you have the ability. And talk about self-aware. I've watched myself do what I used to do naturally so that I could be able to duplicate it in Noah. And way more than the stubbornness to fucking hold on to something regardless of how much it does not exist anywhere besides for in your reality, which is the only motherfucking one that matters.
Mm-hmm.
It is virtually impossible to create that without a sensitivity and without feelers mm-hmm. and without instinct. That is a very different vein and part of you than the thing that can hold on to something through like hell, like you're holding on to a fucking car that's off-roading. And it's like, dude, I might fucking die in the process, but I sure as fuck am not letting go. You know? What sort of things can people do to increase their capacity to be more in tune to that sensitivity? Which sounds funny because I think we live in a world that where a lot of people experience a lot of emotions and that's what they're perceiving as sensitive. And I don't think that's what the word means. I think sensitivity is a product of being open and aware and willing, which increases your ability to sense, to experience, and to feel, not to know, not to analyze, right? I think you're naturally a pretty fucking intuitive person, in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think you've done a lot of shit that has endeavored to, like, increase that muscle. What sort of stuff do you guide people towards if the strength piece is not what they struggle with and they're trying to, like, it's not a matter of like hard and soft because there's strengths and weaknesses in both.
Right.
But to increase their like powerful vulnerability or their capacity to be more in tune instead of being tough day to day.
Number one for sure is meditation.
Meditation, huh? You've been on that one for a fucking minute. Okay. Talk to me about meditation.
Yeah. So when we meditate, we give ourselves space to listen to our truth and open up time and space. It's the only time in the day when we're not being influenced by everything else and where we can actually listen. And that allows us to connect with our truth. It connects with who we truly are. It helps us to slow down our brainwave so that we can really be instead of constantly do all the time. So it's not just benefiting when we're in meditation. It's every interaction that we have throughout the day. And that increases our sensitivity because we are more sensitive when we take that time for ourselves. It's the brain waves, it's connecting with the heart instead of always being in our head. Because you can go through a situation where you can go back and forth 5,000 times and try and figure out the solution all these different ways. And a lot of the time, the answer doesn't come from up here. And that's what I realized, what I began to understand when I was in like my toughest situations in my life was
you can think about
it. You're not going to think your way through it. Yeah. So sit and listen and sit and be and allow space for whatever you're supposed to do and whatever you're supposed to hear to come through. So that's a very spiritual woo-woo place to go. But a lot of athletes meditate, a lot of
actors
meditate.
Give me a hard takeaway with that one. So
every single morning when you wake up in the morning.
What do I do?
Every single morning when you wake up in the morning, spend, I don't want to say 10 minutes because I spend 20 minutes, so I don't want to cheat you of what's actually possible.
Of my 4 minutes of like misery of like, fuck my cell phone, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
So three things that you're grateful for first thing in the morning when you first wake up, and then 20 minutes of meditation. And I really love to use the app called Insight Timer. And before I was using an app, I wasn't consistent. I would look for guided meditations all over the internet, and they all sucked. I hated their voice. It was annoying.
Like, cheesy music or something. Yeah.
So Insight Timer has...
What do you think about Headspace?
I think it's annoying.
Really?
I used to use it for my clients.
Because he's too Australian or something?
It's just the same thing over and over again.
Okay.
And
yeah, I did it twice.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's... it's not, I don't feel when I hear him. It's very like, oh, here is how you meditate.
Okay.
I don't feel the message that is coming across. So with Insight Timer, you have hundreds of thousands of meditations to choose from. And you can choose a 5-minute meditation. You can choose a 30-minute meditation. You can have something for stress, for anxiety, for sleep. You can do law of attraction meditations. So I usually either do a timer where I sit quietly and I do a meditation, or I do a guided meditation, or I put some music on the app, and it tracks your meditation. So you get like a little gold star every time you hit a certain place. And I've almost meditated.
Punk your ass in the meditation department. I'm so much more humble than these fools.
It's just a great way to stay on track. So I've meditated almost every day for I have meditated every day for over 250 days now.
Holy dicks.
And it's changed my life, and it changes every day. And sometimes it's harder, and sometimes it's really easy. Sometimes the time goes by quickly. Sometimes it's like, when is this going to be over? But for the most part, I won't go for a day in my life without meditating because of how much it's changed my life. And it got me out of depression completely. Like, that's what was the key for me to changing my relationship with myself and my world around me too.
What is your relationship like with the world around you now?
A lot more loving, a lot less judgmental, a lot less critical, curious, and exciting to see what connections. Like, there's so many amazing things that happen each day when you start to look for them and when you're open to seeing them. So then more amazing things start to happen. And that's where your reticular activation comes in, where you're seeking out the things that are good in people. You're seeking out the good things that happen throughout the day. And then at the end of the day, you can look back and be like, that was a fucking awesome day. Here's, 10 things that I can count that were really awesome versus like, oh, it's just another day. Like, got to wake up and do it again tomorrow. You know, we get to celebrate all of the awesome things, whether it's a conversation that we had or someone smiling at us or helping a client or whatever it is, learning something new about yourself. There's so many opportunities to celebrate.
What are you doing that's making you have fun? What do you do to let your hair down?
Dance. I love dancing. I really love...
What kind of dancing?
So combination of different types of dancing. So I do some ecstatic dancing, pole dancing.
As do I.
Of course. Yeah. I surround myself with people who like to, like on the weekends, there's whatever environment I'm in, whether it's at someone's house or at an event, there's always some opportunity to dance. So that is what...
We dance, huh? We're kind of dancers, I feel like. I usually like... That's really funny because I noticed it was weird when you started dancing. I'm like, when I'm like doing that, like when I like feel something and I'm like into it, like other people don't usually do that. And both of you actually were like,
yeah,
like started like getting into it too. I'm like, this is fucking vibes. I like, I'm enjoying myself in my garage right now.
Yeah.
Does anyone mind if I take my pants off? The shirt was already there, you know?
Right. So it could be dancing even like, while you're cooking, or which I like to do, just turning on music, dancing whenever, just having fun.
I don't think I've gone dancing. Like, where do you go dance besides for in the kitchen and on poles? Do you go like as the activity, do you ever go dancing?
No, okay. Not usually. I mean, the ecstatic dance, which is basically, that's like a time that you would go and there's... Like,
are there classes? Nice.
They're not classes, they're more events. So, like, there's ecstatic dance at 7 p.m. on a Tuesday or whatever, and you just go and there's different types of ecstatic dance too, which is basically just feeling the music and not giving a fuck about what anyone thinks and not thinking about what you're going to do next. So there's different music that you basically just connect to the music and doesn't have to look a certain way or be a certain way. And it's similar. Another opportunity
whenever I've done improv. Yeah, whenever I've done that, you catch yourself being in it and then like coming out and realizing you're like being conscious. And then you're like, wait, that's not how I'm supposed to be. And then you like release yourself back into doing that. Yeah. That's my experience anyway.
Yeah, it's like a surrendering.
Your shit pops up and it's like, wait, I still want control. You know?
Yeah. Well, improv's a
surrender,
great way.
Surrender, that's a fucking tough one. That surrender thing.
Improv's a great way to practice that too, of letting go and not planning, not controlling, not having it all put together. Like being messy, it's okay to mess up. And a lot of people don't like to be seen that way and don't allow themselves to be that way. So then we become these masks of who we think we should be and not who we truly are. And improv is a really awesome way to break through that. I haven't done much improv, but I know that
static dance and improv. You can spell the word.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I haven't either.
I've been to a few improv shows. We took an
acting class together, if you could call it that.
Oh, my God.
I'm not even going to say that. I'm not even going to say the name of it. God forbid somebody gets footage. Oh.
I think your hair was blue back then,
too. You want to get murked, child?
I think your hair was blue at that time.
It may have been.
Yeah.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I definitely have pictures of that. That's for sure. Okay. So in your 12-week program, I'm hearing a lot of create space, create time, love yourself, raise your awareness, be clear and in tune to make sure your environment is conducive to your direction and your goals and your desired state of being. Contrary to all the fucking bullshit that comes out of my mouth, I actually am a pretty decent listener.
Yeah.
Dance, surrender.
Yeah, well, when I ask women in my... So the third piece of fully nourish, so nourish your body, yeah, nourish your mind. The third piece is follow your heart.
Follow your heart. Wait, so there's two nourishes, and then the third one, you don't get a nourish?
Don't get a nourish.
Don't nourish your heart.
Yeah, you don't nourish your heart.
Just
follow your heart. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, and that's when I ask women, what do you actually want? What do you really want? And when I ask most women, like, what do you really want? They have no idea. They're so stuck in what they're doing every day that they don't have that vision, like you were talking about, to commit to then create that for themselves. So this is just the beginning of them reconnecting to who they really are and what they want. And then after that, I work with them on creating that inner glow, like you were talking about, that inner fire, and the maintenance program that I have that we do for 6 months afterwards to stay, have accountability, have a community. That's a big piece of what I do, is bring women together to support each other on their path. And then that's called glow. So it's really just illuminating and then sharing that with others. So we have to find ourselves first in order to be able to share with others.
You have to keep the source strong. Mm-hmm. You can't give what you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
I get you loud and clear, and then but if you are burning, you get to be that flame that can ignite somebody else's fire.
Yeah.
What do you want?
What do I want?
Yeah.
I want
Showing up when I ask that question, besides for the pressure of answering it? Mm-hmm.
Be happy.
You want to be happy?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you happy?
I am happy.
Cool.
Yeah. For the first time in my life, I am happy. Yeah. So there's days where, you know, it's not perfect. And for the most part,
they're called all days of not being perfect.
Yeah.
But I don't think happiness has to do with perfection. I think it has to do with awesomeness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fuck. What was the word? Extraordinary?
Oh, outrageous.
Outrageous. Fuck.
Outrageous.
That was the placement for it. I didn't get the word, but that was the punchy piece to be like, fuck perfection.
Yeah.
Like, we're not looking for being perfect. We're looking to be outrageous. Dude, so you've gotten a little bit more zany than the last time I've seen you.
Zany.
Yeah, I feel like you're a little bit more in tune with your like wackiness.
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
Is that the case?
Yeah.
What's next for you? You don't have to be fucking Notre Dame-ist, right?
Yeah.
But where are you aiming?
Speaking and writing a book.
Yeah. What are you going to write about?
I am going to write about my journey, and I would say the main message is the courage to listen to your heart and what it takes to really take that leap. So working into...
What does it take to take the leap?
Trust and faith.
In what?
In that everything is happening exactly how it's supposed to. And that if you do follow what lights you up, if you do follow your heart, that everything will pan out how it's supposed to. It doesn't mean that everything's good. It means that you're going to go through the experiences that are going to help you to grow and to evolve and to be your best self.
What are you seeing stand in the way of like everyone just walking around being like, enlightened beings following their hearts, speaking their truth, fucking doing the pinnacle of what you're saying. I mean, there's a breakdown somewhere, because I don't think nothing that you are saying, I was just talking yesterday about truth, is universal and doesn't belong to anyone, right? So it's not that they're your concepts, but none of the concepts that you're talking about, I think, are things that people don't know that they want to be, right? People know they want to be those things. So where are people fucking up, and what is an actionable step that they can do? Not philosophical or theoretical. Now we're talking dink, dink, dink. What does somebody do to live a more empowered life, or to cultivate that internal landscape to be able to bridge the gap, to at least be moving in that upward movement type direction?
The thing that I think is standing in everyone's way is fear of being alone, and what that's like the core human survival mechanism. So they're scared of other people not liking them. They're scared of judgment. And I see this over and over. It's like, why didn't you want to speak up? Oh, I'm scared of what they're going to think of me, or I'm scared that I'm going to hurt their feelings. So it's fear. Fear is what gets in the way. And what can you do to change that?
What is something that somebody can do to be more confidently empowered and mobilized towards the direction that they want? I imagine if fear is a hurdle, you would want to work around it, dig under it, over it, through it, whatever the fuck. How does somebody handle it?
Well, I think that there's not one magic solution. And I think it's really creating what works for each person. So this isn't a step-by-step process, but there's these tools that create what works for you. And for me, I can only speak from my experience, is meditation, affirmations, gratitude. I'll say them over and over and over. And people want to hear this huge thing of that I have to change my entire life. It really starts with checking in with yourself and taking that time to listen. And I'll say it a million times, because that's the only way that we can get over focusing on the fear. It's getting back into love, getting back into your own truth. And that's how we overcome the fear. Mm-hmm.
Pretty hard one to top. That's punchy and that's rad. It's difficult. I have a lot to say personally, and kind of want to hear some of your viewpoints, and maybe that can be podcast number two, about that traveling back to self of figuring out what the fuck, because you made a couple of decisions in your life, all of which were reasonable-ish, right? From the outside, they made sense, but you knew they weren't, right? And you courageously had to like unwind a lot of the shit you did to be like, okay, wait, we're moving in this direction now. These are things I've been playing, but I am not. Mm-hmm. This is whatever. I don't need to like, you know, give an oversimplification of it. There had to be a realization at some point. Maybe it wasn't so much like, I know who I am, this is where I'm going, but it's just not this. Maybe that was more, or maybe you did know where you were going, but I think a lot of people, at some point it clicked for you, because you don't propel in the direction of the shit you've cultivated and the look that I can see in your eyes and the beingness that you get to sit here with presently and bravely and what the fuck, all right, let's fucking do it-ness, and be able to pull all the stuff that you've like studied and all the stuff that you've gathered and collected and put into practice, then not put into practice, then called back on to like rework through all of your stuff. All of that gets to like funnel into a hard direction when it's aimed. You can't hit your target if you don't know what it is. What do you do, or what does a person do if they are in the position that you mentioned? Like, I don't know where to start. I don't know what I want. I do things because I think I should do them. Like, I think meditating and slowing down and listening are important, but is there something that somebody can actively do besides going and trying finger painting and pottery and fencing and like...
Yeah, you think about what you liked when you were a child. You go back to things that used to make you happy.
That's kind of a good one. That's a good actionable. If you used to
like dancing, or you like to go ride your bike, or if you like to play Legos, whatever you used to do, like that's truly who we are before we get all this shit about who we're not and the fears that come up. So if they can do one thing, like I used to like to draw or paint, start there. If you don't know what you like anymore, go back to what you used to like. And that's going to be a great starting point. And then following that may lead to something else. You might be in art class next to someone And they might be like, oh, hey, I'm going hiking this weekend. Like, do you want to come with me? And you recognize you like hiking. So you don't know the path of where that's right. going to take you, but start there. Start with what used to bring you joy.
Right.
Because it used to bring you joy. So there's something about it that worked for you that you liked. And even though you've changed, there's something about your internal world that still relates to that.
Yeah, that it speaks to.
Yeah. What's something that you liked to do when you were a kid?
I really liked learning. I really, 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 like, weirdly liked to cuddle. When I say weirdly, I don't mean, like, it's not understandable. I mean, like, it was socially weird that, like, I would, like, go up to people and, like, hug them and, like, pet them. And, like, I was very, very overly physically affectionate. And that gave me a feeling of, like, if there's any degree of consternation, I'd, like, sit down next to a stranger and communicate with them about it. And my mom would have to pull me away when I was, like, 6. And I just loved the feeling of, like, you know, putting my hand on someone's back, what's wrong? You know, there was a lot of, like, I really liked the connectivity, right, the interconnectivity between humans.
So intellectual stimulation, connectivity, what's something fun? Like, what's something fun that you used to do, like when you used to play or...
You clearly, look at that. That's 2 fucking pulled punches. I'm proud of me. I loved to play hockey and I've always loved to, I love fighting.
That's what I thought when I started thinking about what's fun for you or what you enjoy.
Yeah. Which, what, hockey or fighting? Mm-hmm. Ask these fucking, gave them like a 5-hour education on like on UFC. It's like, it's very, still very close to my heart. Yeah. Now that I own a jiu-jitsu school?
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have 4 SBJJ. It's a mixed martial arts, boxing, mm-hmm. wrestling, jiu-jitsu. I didn't know that. Yeah, it's like 3 miles from my house. I literally was like, okay, if I'm not going to go somewhere to do this, I'm going to like plop my... Yeah. crew and the guys I trained with who are now, he got his black belt from the same guy I trained under Paulo.
Yes.
Met Paulo before. That's fucking weird that you go that far back with me. Mm-hmm. That's fucking crazy. How old were you when I met you? 13?
I was probably, yeah, 13.
Nutty.
You were playing a band in your garage.
That's so, was that the first time we met?
No, I don't know when the first time we met.
Yeah, it's like school yeah. or something maybe.
Yeah. So following what brings you joy, like following, doing more of that.
That's funny. You reminded me. I fucking really, really, really love playing music.
So you can keep coming talking. Back, coming back to more of that and then following what brings you joy. And I know that you said that, you know, you've got a vision and it doesn't matter how you feel in between and it doesn't matter like what you like to do. It's what your vision is and you want to keep going for it.
It's not that it doesn't matter. I don't let it dictate let it my dictate. Actions.
Okay. Yeah. So then that's just a very masculine approach, which is why you've gotten to where you are today. And it's been very successful. It's
on
very
the couch with you?
Linear. very linear, the direction of that you're going.
If you guys got that, life. You call me masculine. Keep going.
So then there's the balance between that and.
Yeah, this is the pesky thing I don't understand that I like you being around me, but don't know why thing that you keep explaining to me, which is what? What is this? What is that? How do I apply it to what's going on, right? So you're saying there's the very, like,
yeah,
piece, and then what is the other?
What we've been talking about this whole time is tuning into the vulnerability, tuning into how things feel, tuning into your heart space instead of it all being, a lot of it being up here.
I feel like they mesh really hard. People say your head and your heart, right? And it's so funny because whenever I'm around my dad, I feel like my mom, and whenever I'm around my mom, I feel like my dad. You know what I mean? Where, like, I definitely got my mom's heart and my dad's mind. With my dad and with my mom, I feel like it's so dominant and I don't see myself that way. I feel like your head guides your heart and your heart guides your head. And like you said, like being where the frequencies are in tune, what does that mean? I mean, they're like, they're vibrating at the same, you know, rhythmic wavelength, right? It's not like your heart is like breaking and your mind's like, you know what I mean? Like I'm soaring and I'm learning and I'm da da da. And you can't be like, emotionally, like your fucking heart is so full and your belly is on fire and you're on purpose and you're on fucking target.
Yeah, you have to have.
But I don't feel like doing it.
Right. So that's like when you go too far into the feminine where you're just feeling everything and you're intuitive and you're just doing whatever feels good, you're not going to get anything done. But then if you're in the masculine and you're constantly doing, 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 you get to burnout. So there's the balance between those two. I mean, we're talking about a few different things here. We're talking about the ego and the soul and we're talking about masculine, feminine. It's all interrelated in some way. But essentially, I think the takeaway that I hear for you, if I may, is more fun and play. And that will enhance like your entire life experience. And I know we've talked about, you know, working super hard, and it's like, do you want to wake up one day and look back and be like, yeah, I worked fucking hard, or I enjoyed my life, or both. Right. And I think that enjoyment and that fun is like that fulfillment that is so powerful and needed.
It's fucking scary. When you just asked those two things, my answer was literally, I would rather say that I worked hard and be proud of like giving something my all than having fun.
Yeah.
That's fucking weird. Like when you said, wait, guys, I know you're saying it to prove a point, and literally in my mind,
that's your truth.
I will kill myself so Noah can have fun. Like I'll create the stability so that the family can like build, and I'm creating like a platform and an environment and a community where people can support and play and rock and produce and whatever. I would rather bust my ass so that thing that is in my brain that is now just starting to come into fruition as a semblance of what I saw 6 years ago, that the me having fun piece is like this big. Everyone I respect in my life also says that it's very necessary, so I'm open to being wrong about that. And I'm endeavoring to like wakeboard and like staycation and like try to like pick up a fucking hobby that's not my cell phone and kicking people's asses. You know what I mean? Like, I think music is a good one, and that's maybe something I go fucking.
I venture to say that you can still be creating that container, and that people will feel more connected to you, and you'll feel more connected is if you have fun as well.
So, no argument.
Yeah. I don't think that's one or the other.
I think you're very right. Mm-hmm. I was just responding to
what you said, would you rather.
Mm-hmm. And you know I never back down from a would you rather. I'll answer every one of those motherfuckers.
Yeah.
No, you said, would you rather work hard or would you rather say I had fun? And it was supposed to be have fun, and it was just weird in my brain.
I think that your inner child, like who you truly are at the core, is like, I want to have fun and I want to enjoy. And 100%. What you've trained yourself to be and what you've 100%. Created for yourself is
no
like.
No question.
Yeah.
Discipline was a very, very hard learned lesson for me. Mm-hmm. My natural kid wants to be like fucking eating bushes and like doing like crazy little kid shit. Like, what is that thing over there? Let's go fucking like explore what the fuck that is. Like, mm-hmm. you know, kids do dumb shit. Like as an adult, you're like, that's a fucking stick. Take it out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. But there was something about it that seemed like maybe that was a good idea. You know what I mean? Like that's my natural state of being, is to go fucking sniff it out. Oh, there's something there. Cool. Let's keep pulling that thread until the whole fucking sweater's unwound. I get to respond to like maybe one of 50 things that I am genuinely excitedly interested in, presuming that all of them are a stone cold no brainer yes, out of sheer motherfucking time units. There are only so many seconds. I don't really know where you stop allocating towards those things and be like, let's go to a Padres game. I know it's supposed to happen somewhere. I don't know. It's not where I'm strongest, but I am endeavoring to like have people around me that are not just a constant reinforcement of every single thing I've beaten into their heads for the past fucking 9 years. Carlos has worked for me since fucking 2009.
Mm-hmm. I think I remember meeting him a while back.
It's entirely possible. I'm doing the little micro adjustment things because, you know, I'm not at a point where I want radical change, but I think that there's room. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go home and I'm going to play guitar.
Amazing. You still have a guitar?
Fuck yeah, I do. I got a few guitars. And I, like, only play them when, like, nobody's home. And it's, like, fucking... And that's not how it should be. So
yeah.
I'll go touch base with that. And we'll see what opens up for me. And I want this to be one of at least, like, two or three that we do. Because I think they're going to get tighter and stronger as we progress.
Awesome.
I love you, woman.
I love you.
Inside Out Empowerment is written and produced by me, Joshua Nussbaum. But when it comes to all things editing, mixing, mastering, I have to give hats off. Resonate Recordings has been amazing to work with. If you have a podcast or you're thinking about starting a podcast, I knew I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to say, didn't really know how I was going to go about putting it into a podcast format, get it into an RSS feed, upload it to iTunes, all that stuff. And the owner of Resonate Recordings, Jacob, has really stepped up to the plate. Go ahead and mention Inside Out Empowerment when you talk to them, and you'll get your first episode mixed and mastered for free. If you guys are looking to level up your life and be entertained in the process, go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss my weekly podcast. I'm highly responsive. Please, I'm going to leave the show notes below, complete with all the ways you can connect with me on Instagram @RevLabsPrez, on YouTube @Joshua Nussbaum. This is here for you guys. Please reach out, connect, like, comment, subscribe, ask me questions, tag me. I'm here for you. Let's tailor this bad boy and live an empowered life. Talk soon. Just watch me now. Just watch me now.